to Secondhand Film Critics, your favorite source for mildly pretentious, semi-uneducated, and highly unqualified opinions on movies. I am not of this world, and I am here with...
a guy giving a blowjob to a gun.
Oh my God.
And that... is how we will open the episode today.
I that is one thing I can erase from my memory, please.
What a great scene.
James Franco deep throating gun was things on a list I didn't know I had of things I didn't need to see.
So many beautiful memories being made already. But
amazing.
Before we get into
everyone
our
just
episode,
clicked away from this episode
I
right
know,
now.
I was like, what is this?
Let's maybe skip this one. Actually,
no, please listen.
Please listen.
We need the validation.
We do.
We'll get you to listen by maybe reading an answer if you gave one to our last week's question of the week.
Oh.
We discussed the Super Mario Brothers movie.
Let's go!
Mushroom Kingdom, here we come! And
Mushroom Kingdom, here we come!
I'm Winnowig, Winnowig in Mushroom Kingdom
That's what Alien would say in this movie, but as an innuendo, he'd be like, Mushroom Kingdom, here we come! I feel like that's something James Franco would say having
Cut
sex.
To a shot of them smoking weed, like Mushroom Kingdom.
That would be good. That should be an SNL skit.
I know. Yeah.
We're just handing the SNL writers material here. Maybe we should start, when we move, a sketch comedy. YouTube comedy channel.
I think we should bring it back. Yeah. One take, no lighting with a video camera, grassroots. See where it goes.
Uh-huh.
We asked, what MCU, Mario Cinematic Universe, movie
so clever.
Do you want to see? Because it seems like, I mean, even now, even more so now than last week, Mario movies are doing pretty great business.
Pretty great.
So you know what happens when a movie does good business is the studios say, we need to make that, but more, and also sequels, and also Cinematic Universe, and that's what will happen. So this is basically
just
us.
It.
Giving ideas. Interestingly, two separate people said the same thing. One person on Spotify, Alex, said this, and then also Noah Hewitt on Instagram both mentioned the Mario and Sonic at the Olympic Games. And you know what? We were saying Smash Brothers could be like the Avengers team up, but I feel like that could be a team up right there.
I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, and you could break, because we already have Sonic movie, we already have Mario movie, you know, get the team up in there. I'm not sure...
who has the rights or where the rights fall would be my question.
I think it would have to be like a joint Sega and Nintendo like thing, which I feel like, I mean, if they make the games, then they could probably get along enough to make a movie. That movie would do crazy.
The question is, would we use the live action Sonic model...
That's the thing.
CGI.
I don't know how much like the art styles would melt. It
I
would
mean,
be kinda
honestly,
like a,
I'd love to see Sonic in this animation.
Yeah, I agree. Like, I know the second one is more the Green Hill Zone, like less real world. So I don't know how much that changes things, but the styles are very different. I don't know how that would work, but I think just the idea would be great. The only thing is, like, Olympics, though. Like, does it have to be based around the Olympics? Like, maybe just, like, a Mario Sonic movie just in general would be good. Danny said, give me Koopa Troopa.
Let's do it.
I don't know what the movie would be.
Here's
but...
how I see this working. I thought the Koopa Troopa Koopas were funny in the movie.
The movie.
This
yes.
movie. Super Mario Bros. Maybe, like, a short film before the next movie.
Yeah.
Like a Pixar thing where they do the Pixar shorts. Maybe we start doing Nintendo Illumination shorts and we have a Koopa short. Because I could see a Koopa story being like 9 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
You know what would be a great Koopa short? Is, what is that squirrel's name?
Scrat.
Ice Age. What if like... there's two Koopas and they're hanging out And then they're like, I don't know, doing something. And one like falls and then he turns into the shell. And the other Koopa's like, ah! And then they have, he's like trying to figure out how to turn his friend back into a Koopa. Yeah. And not the shell. I think that would be hilarious.
And then like hits the shell and the shell starts bouncing and he has to chase the shell. Like,
oh my god, that would be so good.
Chase the shell around.
But also, like, he's trying to not turn into a shell.
Yes.
And then at the very end, he finally gets him to turn back, and then he accidentally turns into a shell.
That would be great. What a great story that would be.
I love it. I can see it. Maybe I wish I was an. If I were an animator, I would do it.
Yeah, storyboard it right now. And then Chenzi said Kid Icarus, which isn't a Mario character, but it is a Nintendo character. So if they are going to go full like Super Smash Brothers Nintendo verse thing, that would be definitely a good one to adapt.
Yeah, I haven't ever played any Kid Icarus games.
I haven't either, but I think there is pretty intense lore there. And also the design of the world, I think, is cool. So I feel like it could look very cool.
I think people like him, too, because of, like, Smash and stuff. So
I
could see it.
I feel like, though, I mean, obviously there's so many other ones they would do before that. But maybe, like, if for, like, the fifth or sixth movie, you know, like, get one for the true fans in there after they do, like, a Metroid one and a Zelda one. Like, because I feel like if they do a Kid Icarus one before they do Metroid or Zelda, that would be, like, what is going on? Just people would say that, but I think it could be cool. And there's not as many preconceived notions around Kid Icarus as well. Like, I think you could do maybe be a little bit more creative and like come up with an original story idea.
I feel like I need to cosplay him.
With the hair? Could you do the hair?
Uh-huh.
Spike it? Mm-hmm. Right? He's like spiky hair. Yeah. Would you do regular Pit or Dark Pit?
Probably Dark Pit.
Yeah, I think that's the move. Yeah. It's a cool look. Maybe I could be the regular one and you could be the dark one.
That would be fun.
That'd be a fun double costume idea. Thank you to everyone who wrote in. We'll have another question about this movie. So definitely not about Mario, but it will be a question about Spring Breakers, which will be a big change. I don't know what we're going to ask, but we'll figure it out.
I feel like we could ask something like, what's your favorite A24 movie? Or like niche A24 movie?
Yeah, like, what's your favorite A24 movie that like is like under a certain budget limit. I don't know. We'll figure it out. We'll feel it out as we go. For now, let's move in to our first segment. So this is for those of you who just didn't read the title, we've never seen Spring Breakers. So this is a series we do discussing movies that obviously we've never seen. Usually they are bigger movies, some bigger than others. Like this is not as big as maybe some of the ones we've covered, but it is still a big indie film. And especially because with like the A24 film bro culture, this was an early one of like the first big A24 movies. So it seems like it's a big one in that sense, you know.
This feels like the kind of movie that someone would be like when it first came out. I could picture them being like, "Oh yeah, I like this really cool indie movie called Spring Breakers."
With really cool indie movie with James Franco and Selena Gomez and Vanessa Hudgens, you know, three people that people have never heard of.
Yeah,
just
yeah.
Real underground stars that, you know, hopefully can make it to the mainstream one day. We'll talk about it, but this gives real, like, late 2000s, 2000, early 2010s, like, indie art house vibes for sure. And I think it'll be fun to talk about kind of, because it's very different than, I guess, like the indie space now is, you know.
Sure.
All right. So I came up with a couple little history fun facts things. It's not as big of a movie. So, you know, there's not always like the most stuff, but some interesting things. So director Harmony Korine, which is kind of a cool name. Like Harmony, that's kind of a cool name.
Melody?
Melody and Harmony. Counterpoint. He came up with the idea over several years. And he wanted to make a film, he said, more about, like, the feeling and sensory elements and plot or narrative, which I guess makes sense. Yeah.
Interesting.
Like, sure.
I don't know that he, I don't know that was accomplished. I mean, I guess it, in a way, maybe.
We could talk about it, but that's what he went into it thinking. And then he wanted to make a movie, he said, that was a mixture of a Britney Spears music video And I don't know how to say this last name, but do you, Gaspar.
No.
Yeah, him. Yeah. He's the guy that did the climax in like all of like
French.
Those movies. He's French, yeah.
Right?
French. It wasn't French. Like, what was the name? Like, was it just Kiss? What's the name of that one movie?
With, what like, movie?
That's about.
No,
like,
I was
kissing.
Saying he was French.
Oh, because there's a movie that's like called about like, I'm gonna look this up right now because climax is like his mainstream one, but he also has like, oh, Enter the Void. Oh, Love. Love was the one I was thinking of because it has people because it's a very like generic title. That's why I was
Love.
That's the one I was thinking of.
What? Sorry, what is that on?
It's another one of his movies, but like one of it's. I was just thinking of what his other movies were besides Climax. Enter the Void and Love, I think, were like the two bigger ones.
Okay.
But I got an interesting combo there. I like that like combo idea. So I found out reading the original like top bill for cast member was Emma Roberts.
Oh.
So she was originally top like the top bill. But she dropped out because she was uncomfortable with the amount of sexual content in the film, which I feel like, I mean, don't, I feel like you'd get if you read the script. So it's interesting, like, did she read the script? And then when, like, she got there was like, oh, I forgot about, I don't know. But that replaced by Ashley Benson, other actors that were considered after she left, I need you to guess. I think you could guess two of these.
Okay, let's see. Who else was popular during that time? Natalie Portman.
Not Natalie Portman. I think she might have been a little older.
Okay. They all sound the same to me. Shoot. Who else would have been around that same age as Selena Gomez?
Yeah, you can think definitely on the Selena Gomez track for one
Ashley
of them.
Ashley Tisdale.
No.
What's her name?
I don't know.
Hilary Duff?
Nope.
I'm thinking like a Disney Channel.
Selena, you're on the right track. I don't know if Disney Channel.
Okay, so like what?
Also like singer.
Ariana Grande.
No. I think this one actor, they would have been on a similar show when they were really younger.
Okay.
I think Selena Gomez was on this show. I'm actually, I'm not sure.
Barney? Is that what you're thinking of?
Yes.
Selena Gomez was on Barney.
Okay, so this other person was on Barney.
Demi Lovato?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So that's one.
Demi Lovato had a Disney Channel show.
Oh,
they had Sunny with a Chance, which only aired for like a couple
and
seasons.
Also Camp Rock, right? They had
Camp Rock. Camp I mean, Rock. That's a DCOM, but
yes. Okay, so Demi Lovato is one. There's two others. One that is bigger. One that is not as big.
Okay.
Blonde hair.
Okay. I'm so horrible with people's names.
Also in an earlier A24 movie.
Oh, geez. Okay.
A couple of them actually.
Okay.
Definitely is not as popular as she used to be.
My brain is totally blanking on A24 movies right now. My brain is like Last Black Man in San Francisco.
Definitely more of like she acted a lot as a kid too.
And she's blonde?
Blonde.
Okay.
I think, oh yeah, she was in an A24 movie, an earlier one that we covered on the podcast.
We covered on the podcast?
We did cover the movie that she was
Brie
in.
Brie Larson.
No.
Oh, damn it.
I love the certainty with which you
so
said that.
I was so sure, except I guess that wasn't an A24. I guess I was thinking Short Term 12 is not an A24 movie. That's what I was thinking.
No, it's not. I feel like personally, I Short Term 12 and this movie, I kind of sometimes mix up just name wise. And also like the vibe, the movie that this one actress was in. They covered on the podcast that is about women.
Oh, 20th century women.
Yes.
Oh,
uh-huh.
Fuck. who was in that? God, not Greta Gerwig.
Greta Gerwig.
Elle Fanning.
Yeah. Uh huh.
That's crazy because she's like my age, isn't she?
So that
like,
means
she would have been really fucking young for this movie.
Wait, there's no way that that's true.
There's no way. Maybe her older sister.
Okay.
Maybe her older sister.
Does she have an older sister?
Yeah, Dakota Fanning.
Yeah, maybe that. Because maybe that's what it was. Okay, because she would have been 14.
Because
so
there's
definitely
no way.
No.
I was like, she's my age. Dakota Fanning is 29. Okay. Which is still young, but not...
This is an IMDb information, so take it with a grain of salt. Sarah Hyland was the other person that was mentioned.
Oh, okay. I would not have guessed that.
Yeah, that's what I figured. But ended up going to Ashley Benson, who I guess probably that they had to pay less money because I don't think she's as big of like...
Yeah, definitely not as big as Emma Roberts.
Or like, yeah, Demi Lovato even.
I mean, I would not even be able to recognize Ashley Benson to be totally same. Real.
Don't think I would have been able to know what, like, either of her name, like Ashley or Benson. The one thing I found out that was interesting, that one of the fun facts was some of the scenes in the second half of the movie were filmed in real locations where there were actually like gangsters and drug deals taking place. So I thought that was interesting.
That's kind of wild. I mean, is there like
a legal thing? I don't know.
What is it? The statute of limitations? Like, what?
Is it like a documentary where like you can't interfere with like nature at its course?
Yeah. Like, did any of these people get arrested for being in the backgrounds of this movie?
I don't know.
Like, imagine being like doing a drug deal. And then, like, these cameras. That is crazy to me. I don't know.
Maybe it's not drug deals. James Franco just said bad things.
Okay, maybe it was, like, guns, illicit activity, trafficking. Yeah. I don't know, a brothel. One time when I was working at an escape room in college.
Oh, wow.
So we had to park. We parked behind the building, and it was kind of like... I don't know, but there was like not like an alley, but like the side of the building parking lot, and then there was like a parking lot all behind this strip of buildings that like people didn't really go back there. And one time, I walked out of the back door because like we would go out the back door, and there was a Starbucks on the corner, and you could just like we would put in a mobile order and then walk over to the Starbucks. So anyway, I walked out one time. And these people were definitely doing a drug deal. Like,
nice.
Like, 100%. Like, passing of hands. You know, the car is right there. And they looked at me. And I looked at them. And we made eye contact. And it was one of, you know, the, like, Simpsons, like, he's going back into the bush.
Oh, yeah, back into the bush.
That's what I did. I looked at them. I went... I put a hand up, I waved, and then I just backed right back up into the... And then I, like, told my boss about it, and I was like, just, you know, people were doing drug deals back
crazy.
There. But
crazy. Crazy times. So you basically lived the plot of Spring Breakers.
I literally live...
This is Willie, my wife.
This is literally so crazy because I literally lived this plot.
This literally is like a movie.
This literally was like my real life. I couldn't even believe this. This movie was literally like a documentary of my life.
Oh my gosh, this is one of A24's first films at the studio. It became the highest grossing limited release of 2013, which is kind of cool.
That is kind of actually surprising to me.
I know, like,
I mean, I don't know what other limited releases came out in 2013, but it could have been a shit year for limited releases. I don't know, but it just seems like
a weird movie to do that.
Like, yeah, it just seems like a movie. It seems like a movie that wouldn't gross well, but would like be good after the fact. Like a DVD release, you know, like its theater run is not good, but then its DVD release, like all of a sudden sales go high. That's how I see this movie being, is like maybe the iTunes, when people would buy the movies on iTunes.
Yeah, I think, well, we could talk about it, or we can just talk about it now. I don't know. I think a lot of it was having Selena Gomez and Vanessa Hudgens and James Franco was big for sure. Like the names,
sure,
the name pull there. Sure. I also think they definitely marketed this as like a raunchy teen comedy. Even like the posters, like or the pictures they use, definitely
yes.
do not promote. They don't. What's the word?
Represent.
Represent. Yeah, what the film is. It's very. What you see, what you assume yet you are getting, and what you do get is very different.
They use like punchy colors, like the poses, all that makes it seem more
Like an American Pie kind of movie. Yeah, sure. I
don't know anything about that movie, so well, just I'm like gonna
a sex, like a teen sex comedy.
I'm gonna
comedy
agree with you, but yeah, that's kind of, I mean, yeah, yeah.
That's, I feel like that's what you think, and it's like, oh yeah, Spring Break, baby. And then you watch it, and you're like, what is this?
Yes.
So though reviews were mixed, it has since, like, kind of like you were saying, become kind of a cult classic, and it was considered by the BBC as the 74th best film within a list of the 21st century's greatest films. So
that's,
it does
insane.
Have, at does what, have its supporters.
What, when was this? Was this when, like, not what? Because which century is the 21st century?
The one we're
after
in?
2010.
The
after,
one we're in. No, from 2001.
Okay, sorry. Century is 100 years.
August 2016, this list was made. Number one is Mulholland Drive, which is a pretty
that's
one.
Also crazy.
Spirited Away made 4.
Hell yeah, let's go.
Give me a number and we'll just see.
69. Sorry, 69. That was an inappropriate number.
69,
but
is Carol.
No,
wow.
Way.
It was not on purpose.
What a wild. I didn't like Carol. Hot take, Brooke. Sorry, I know Brooke loves that movie.
It's a little boring.
It just, like,
give
really
me one,
just
give me one more number.
Geez, this is so stressful. 42.
Amour. Oh, that was like the old lady, like, guy holding her face poster.
Oh yes. Is that the cartoony?
No, I think it's not a cartoon. 41 is Inside Out.
Oh, great movie.
Yeah, so this movie made number 74.
Okay,
right below Before Sunset.
And above what? Like, what's
above
the next one?
Inherent Vice. Oh, Inherent Vice sucks. Okay. And then Wolf of Wall Street is a little underneath it.
What's number 100?
Ooh.
Is this 100 list?
There is a three-way tie of Carlos,
no,
Requiem for a Dream, and Tony Erdman.
Okay, this list is...
Oh, Moonrise Kingdom made number 95.
Oh, that needs to be higher. Who made this list?
Well, out of 16 years, you know, I don't know, the BBC, the Brits...
Let's get these Brits out of here. What do they know about movies?
I'm surprised, like, the King's Speech wasn't number one, because
love
the King.
They love the royal family.
Why are you talking like a Dutch accent?
I don't know.
They love the royal family.
They love the royal family. Sorry. Okay, let's move on.
Speaking of accents, we can move on to some Florida Spring Break cool cats.
Let's go to Miami, guys.
So this is the review now. Do you want to read this quick summary? I have synopsis yeah. of Spring Breakers
quick,
before we
this
move
is
on.
A long ass paragraph here.
It is. I wrote it this time. I kind of took like the first sentence of the Google one, and then I wrote the rest.
College students Candy, Faith, Britt, and Cotty are tired of their life in the middle of nowhere and hope that their upcoming spring break will be a chance to see new things and discover who they really are. Unfortunately, despite saving since the beginning of the year, the group is low on cash, and their chances of having this once-in-a-lifetime experience seems limited. That is, until Candy, Britt, and Cotty take it upon themselves to rob a local restaurant, providing themselves with more than enough money to get to Florida and back. However, what starts as some old-fashioned hedonistic fun soon drags the girls into a world of drugs, crime, and gangsters. One that may be too alluring to leave behind.
And then in the background, you have James Franco's voice. Spring Break. I should put that sample all throughout this episode, just randomly.
Yeah, every,
like,
time, just like we say something
it.
And it's
spring,
like, spring
break. Spring break.
Did you ever, you never took a spring break trip, did you?
No.
I
used my spring breaks for working on school.
Yeah, I also never took a spring break trip, so.
Also, like, if I went to spring break, the last place I would want to go to is Florida. Like, who willingly goes to Florida?
I would be going somewhere else.
Anywhere else, honestly.
Italy if I were rich.
Like, if I'm robbing a bank, I'm robbing enough money to go to Europe. I'm not going to Florida.
Yeah, not Florida.
Is this still a thing? Like, I know, so this is 2012, a very well done 2012 period piece. Is this still a thing?
I don't know about Florida, but Beach Week is a thing.
Okay.
So, like, the high school seniors, I know that they usually do Beach Week.
Okay.
And get, like, a beach house and get shit-faced and yeah. all that. And then when I lived in the beach area, it was always, like, known by locals to, like, not go to the waterfront during Beach Week because, like, crime rates, like, rocketed during that week.
Of course.
And people would be like, if you go walk the oceanfront during Beach Week, you're going to get shanked. And it was like, okay, I'm not going to go to the oceanfront during Beach Week. Yeah. So,
yeah, I think it's interesting because watching this, I was like, this feels like maybe historically like the last time that this kind of spring break would have happened. Just because after this, there's a lot more. So I feel like cell phones change a lot. Like, cell phones are a thing at this point, but it's not as much like as invasive as it is now, you know, like in sure. And I think along with, I mean, not to like bring politics into it, but like both like the Me Too and also the Donald Trump presidency, I just feel like change just a lot,
and COVID
after that. Yeah. And so I think like it was such an interesting like look back even 11 years at just something that felt so like so far away, like this kind of nothing matters, let's just have fun and like party and play like dubstep music. It was so wild because it feels like such a far time away and like such a period piece, but it really was only 11 years ago. So
yeah,
because I don't feel people talk about like spring break all the time. Like, they talk about spring break, but not in this way, I guess. I don't know, it just feels different now.
I believe you. I don't know, I'm not ever around like college kids, so I don't
know. I just feel like maybe even just capitalism, like money-wise.
Well, people our age don't have money. I guess it's people younger than us.
It's
but
a lot less like, feasible to like spend all this money to go to Florida.
Unless you rob a restaurant.
Maybe we're all doing it wrong.
Maybe we're doing life wrong. Maybe we should
get some squirt guns. Those people at the restaurant did not know the like the little orange tip rule, where like the orange tip is not a real gun. Idiots. They did have like mallets though, so I even if they didn't have they weren't real guns, I would have been like not cool with the mallet smashing. I would have been like, all right.
Yeah, I still would have been scared. Trauma response.
Would have just given them. I don't have any cash though in my wallet usually.
I don't carry cash either. It's like, what do you want? My phone, Apple wallet? Like, what are you gonna do? You don't have my Face ID.
If this was made today, they would go in and people would like, do you take Apple Pay? Do you have?
Because a lot of times I don't even carry. I won't even carry my wallet. I'll like just.
The guy like holding up like his Venmo
phone.
QR code. Like, here you go.
I'll Venmo you $50. Just leave me alone. Don't shoot me, please. This movie was fine. I think for me, this is obviously not my type of movie. Like, I think it's pretty clear that is established with my opinions on movies that are very similar to this. Like, Zola, yeah. I would say.
I feel like Zola definitely was inspired by this. It has to be.
It has to be. I'm trying to think. Have you seen American Honey?
No, but I've seen scenes. I mean, I feel like A24 has like a Florida theme through a lot of their like Florida Project.
And they're very like Americana, like, you know what
I
mean.
Yeah, I know. I get
you. I don't
you.
Know what I'm trying to describe, but I know you get it. But like this, the kind of lower class.
Yes, yeah.
Like very like real, authentic. Red Rocket is another one. Was that
A24? Oh, yeah, Red Rocket. Yeah, it is A24. Yeah. That's not Florida, right? Is that Florida?
It's either Florida or Texas.
Yeah, somewhere south-ish.
But it's like that same kind of like, it feels like movies about real people. Like this, they do this kind of weird Americana brand. I feel like even something that's like Last Black Man can also sort of fit in this vibe. Like not totally, but it still fits that sort of like small people, big world
right,
type.
Yeah. And it's like definitely about capturing an atmosphere of this kind of lifestyle.
Now, one movie that I was thinking of that does the similar stuff as this one that I actually did like. We've talked about it before.
Oh.
That I feel like nails the sensory element.
Mm. Oh, was that,
he was trying to talk about
the one
was
we
the
saw?
African Desperate.
African Desperate, yeah. Very similar vibes.
Which is also in this same sort of genre.
Yeah.
And I like that one.
Mm-hmm.
Or liked it more than some of these other ones. But that one was one I was thinking about during this, because I think maybe certain elements of that is what they were trying to achieve with this. Uh-huh. But like maybe they didn't have the means to go like as experimental as African Desperate
maybe
was.
Maybe they felt more, because it was like studio funded and had like a couple bigger stars, like they felt more, not pressure, but like locked in, like, okay, we have to have like a James Franco like monologue scene. We have to like make sure we get like something in there. So you're right. Like the other ones, I think, are trying to kind of like to have their cake and eat it too scenario, and to varying levels of success. Like, I think some of them are better than others, but African Desperate does have like, because it's like a very much more independent film, they have a little bit more freedom to be like, let's just go for it, right? Like, let's just do it. So yeah, that's a good comparison. That'd be an interesting like double feature, I guess.
Could you imagine triple featuring this, Zola, and the African Desperate?
That would be insane.
Like all three. Like, I feel like that on its own would be a drug trip.
Yes.
Like the three of those.
Yes. I don't know if my brain
without any real drugs
could handle that. My brain.
No, I can do one of these. I feel like you could even do maybe like what was that movie we just watched? Magic Mike.
I saw someone that said they double featured this and the original Magic Mike, and it like very similar.
Like that feels like a good. Or, what's the one with Jennifer Lopez?
Oh, Hustlers.
Yes, that also feels like this type of movie. Another movie that I didn't love.
I think Hustlers is even more so trying to do, like, they definitely don't lean enough into, like, the psychedelic, like, drug trip
thing. But I feel like, again, but yeah, Magic Mike and this, I think, would be a great double feature.
And they're both, like, same year.
I kept wanting to say Pitch Perfect, and I was like, I know it's not Pitch Perfect.
You were thinking Channing Tatum, right?
But my brain could not, I couldn't come up
with
the name.
Pitch Perfect and Spring Breakers, you know, the two family girl sleepover classics.
And then we'll throw Camp Rock in there to, like, at the end.
What a triple feature that would be. Yeah, this movie, I really enjoyed it. I think there was some stuff that could have been better. Like, there were some messy aspects or things that, like, I thought structurally could have made it more compelling. On one hand, I understand that the Selena Gomez character needs to leave, because, like, that makes sense for her character and, like, how a couple of them are slowly leaving. But it did feel like they really only characterized her. And then once she left, I was like, so who are these other three people? Like,
I agree.
Because, like, it felt for the first half of the movie like she was, like, the central focus. And, like, they were showing a lot of her phone calls. And then all of a sudden,
I think,
like,
it's hard because all the first monologues, like, narrative portions,
like, before
voiceover.
Before they get sent into jail, like, the first half.
Was all her. Yeah, it was mostly her.
Yeah.
And then in the end, it was, like, James Franco.
It definitely felt two-parter split.
Which I was like, I don't know. I feel like maybe if we had gotten like some monologue from one of the other characters, then it would have been helpful.
Well, I think very specifically, like, the two, I don't remember their names aside for Faith, but like the Vanessa Hudgens and the Ashley Benson characters, I think were supposed to be like almost the same character. So like, I got that.
Yeah,
I guess,
like,
I just, maybe if the other girl
I think
had more.
If they had done, here's the way I think it should have been. Is it be like, you know, where movies do like one and then have the name? If like one was Faith and then that was her, the first, and then the second act was the girl that got shot.
Yeah.
Whose name? Caddy?
Cuddy? And then the third act would be those two girls, like, what and something and something.
Yeah, either that or like the James Franco one. So it's like one, two, three, you know?
Yeah.
So, like, one, well, I feel like that would give it more cohesion for me, because I felt the same way, like, after Selena Gomez left.
It feels like, yeah, there's nothing to hold on to a little
bit. It was a lot less grounded for me, because, like, I liked her character, and I thought that it added a sort of interesting dynamic to the group and thing. Kind of, like, what was going on and her feeling conflicted and all that.
Yeah.
And so when she left, I kind of was like, don't really know what's going on
here. It feels like it's for like 20 minutes, like a little unfocused until I think like the gunshot. And then it, I think, kind of refocuses back a little bit.
Because it didn't have any other conflict besides Selena Gomez. So when she left, like, we lost all the conflict too.
Yeah.
So it was kind of like until she got shot, there wasn't really anything else that was keeping us tied to the story apart from, I don't know, them just being there. So I think that would have helped. Like, for me, I think it got a little lost in the third act. But I liked the monologues.
Oh, the monologues were... The James Franco monologue is very, very good. That's a very, it was a very well-done monologue.
Yeah, I agree. And I tend to not usually like stuff like that, you know, like any kind of voiceover and stuff. Mm. I feel like it often is used in a way that, like... What am I trying to say? Like, when they're narrating for the sake of telling you stuff instead of actually showing you what's going on, like, a lot of people use voiceover as a cop-out.
Yes, definitely.
Or narration as a cop-out. And I think there are rare cases when it's amazing, and then there's other cases when it's, like, fine. But I think in this one, it's one where particularly, like, because it's not telling you what's going on in the story... Mm-hmm. It gives an added artistic element, but it also gives an added element to what's going on. I guess, like, it gives more depth.
Yeah, I agree. And I think both the visual and the audio editing are, for me, what made this movie work. Because there are those monologues or voiceover things, but they're always, it's like one of the thing where it's like from a scene of a character talking. But they sometimes don't even show you what scene it's from, or like they'll show you and then they'll go to all these other scenes and you're not really sure, like, okay, I know this person's talking, but are they talking like at this point in the story, or is this scene taking place before? And sometimes a lot of times they'll like repeat the same voiceover multiple times. And I thought like it was a really, it just gave it a lot more, definitely a lot more personality. And I thought set me more in like the psychedelic kind of idea, especially with like the repetition of some of the phrases. It felt a lot more like a visual art piece, which was cool. I think that was the little bit of the conflicting thing sometimes, though, where it was like the Selena Gomez character, that was a very like classic conflict with the character that is feeling really conflicted and with this lifestyle, but also feels like more themselves than they've ever felt. A very common narrative. And so there was some of that where it felt like, okay, is this what this movie's doing? And then she would leave, and then it'd be like, okay, is this movie just trying to be like about the James Franco character? Like, are we just kind of giving a portrait of this this character? And then it just felt a little bit sometimes like either too plot driven or not plot driven enough. And I just couldn't sometimes tell what they were trying to go for. But I think that the non-linear editing, both in the audio and the visual, were the thing that tied it all together. Like, especially in the beginning, they did it more as it went on, but I liked how, like, in the beginning, like, there's a couple times where, like, wait, didn't they just say that line? And then they would slowly introduce it, and I thought that was a really good way of kind of making the film feel more cohesive. And then by the end, it's like, almost everything is out of order. Like, you don't even know, like, at what point in the narrative you are. Like, is this before they shot this guy, or this is after? Like, it gets more mixed up as it goes, which I liked that.
Yeah, I agree. It definitely, I don't know. I think if this sounds so film bro, I don't know. You can tell it's an A24 movie.
Yeah.
Like, you can see that this is the grassroots of the beginning of A24. But yeah, I think the stylistic stuff was what was real. Like, stories like this aren't for me. I don't get it, and I think it's fine. I'm not one of those, we don't need sex in movies people.
This is a big debate right now. Careful.
This is a big debate. I think sex in movies is good. Go sex. Safe sex. sorry. No, I lost my train of
thought. You said safe sex had lost all your train of thought.
I lost my whole train of thought. What was I trying to say?
You're not against sex in movies or whatever? Oh, yes.
But here's the thing. Movies like this just aren't for me, and I think that's totally fine. But I'm not like... Like, I understand the artistic value of this movie. I'm not going to go around and be like, this movie is horrible. I can't believe they make movies about drugs and parties and clubs and stuff. Like, you know.
That's a great voice. I think that's a great character we should continue.
The, like, I am the horrible Twitter person. Because I feel like a normal, like, this would be a movie now. Because I think Zola had similar discourse when it came out. But, like, a movie now that if this came out now, would be like, why does this movie need to exist? Like, this whole movie is just about sex and drugs. And I can't believe, like, teenagers are so much more than sex and drugs. And spring breaks can be good. And it's like, okay,
that's
no one cares.
That's definitely not what the movie's about, guys. I'm sorry to tell you.
Or they'd say something about the Jesus character. And they'd be like, they were just trying to use a Christian to show that, like... make fun of God.
First of all,
like,
I would say that she was the character that
she was
the best.
The good character.
Yeah, I feel like I was with her most of the time. Like, yeah, sounds good. Let's leave.
All that to say, I think that I can see why people probably liked this movie. I think it did do something different. I know we've talked about these other movies that are similar, but I do think that this does something different. And I can see why it's an A24 movie. Mm-hmm. And I think in the sort of earlier quarter of the A24 releases, I'd have to look and see what else was was coming out at the same time as this one. But it feels like an early A24 movie.
Yeah.
Like, I get it. Is the main point that I'm trying to say, which is, like, the dumbest film bro point, like, it feels like an A24 movie. But I think movies like this at the early end of A24, it sort of established what their studio looks like or what kind of art that they do stylistically, where they're kind of, like, they're not, they do a lot more experimental now. But it's something that I feel like pushes a line of experimental, but, like, doesn't go too far yet. Mm-hmm. And I think that makes sense with A24, I guess, is the main.
It definitely feels like a really, like, fundamental building block of their success. Like, they had this, and then pretty soon after, the other big one when they were earlier, like, The Spectacular Now. So it feels like they did was one of their best business decisions was... really having those, like, very different heavy hitters in the beginning that, like, showed, okay, these are the kind of movies that we are about as a studio, and we want some of this experimental stuff. We also want some of this more normal, I guess. I don't know. Just, like, more basic narratives, coming-of-age narratives.
Have you seen the Bling Ring?
I have. This gives kind of Bling Ring vibes.
Because I'm looking at their list of movies right now, and the Bling Ring was the one that came out right after this one.
Yeah, this gives Bling Ring vibes
a bit. So they had this one, Bling Ring, Spectacular Now, in 2013, and then it went into, like, Enemy Under the Skin. So it's kind of...
A tour director's,
like, you can see where they're
visionary kind of ideas.
Yeah, I mean, it's like this guy, I don't know, who
Harmony,
seems,
yeah. He's definitely more like a smaller.
I mean, it's like Roman Coppola, Sofia Coppola. This guy seems kind of interesting. Yeah. Denis Villeneuve. Like, it feels like that the beginning, that's what they were trying to do. I don't know.
And I think they did a great job, like, building that brand really quickly until, like, 3 years later after this movie releases, they win an Oscar. So they did it.
And now look at them. Now, 10 years, what? It's 10 years
after
this movie, they... Yeah.
Wow, this is almost the 10-year anniversary just a couple weeks ago.
Like a month ago. That's crazy.
I guess that makes sense. They released it on spring break.
But I didn't realize this was A24's 10th anniversary.
Wow. Happy anniversary, A24.
Or like 10th anniversary of their movies. But that's crazy. 10 years and they, like, swept the Oscars. That is
crazy.
So we got from this movie.
Look how far we've come.
To the Whale.
To the Whale. Rip. But, like, the Whale, Everything Everywhere, like you said, just, like, sweeping the Oscars last year. This year already in the headlines a lot with Beau is Afraid.
Someone needs to write, some film Twitter bro needs to write an essay about how Spring Breakers paved the way for Everything Everywhere All at Once. I feel like I could come up with some shit show of, like, you know what I mean?
Even like, an just article the about, dumbest. Like, how the early films of A24, like, signal what the films are now, you know, like, parallel.
I feel like it's got to be more niche to do well on Twitter, though, so it's got to be,
why,
like...
Why Spring Breakers paved the way for Everything.
Why Spring... Maybe I should write it and just see how popular it gets and, like, bullshit the whole thing and be like, why Spring Breakers caused Everything Everywhere All at Once to win Best
Or, like,
Best
you
Picture.
Can thank Spring Breakers for Everything Everywhere All at Once or something, like...
That would be, watch me write
watch
this
me
this
whip.
Week. I don't have time, but it would be so much. Watch me, nay, nay.
Yeah, that was this time. Watch me this whip, was this year. Whip. The year
me,
before,
nay,
right?
Nay.
2012? I think that was
whip
the whip.
Was this year?
I think it was the year before. I think it was 2012.
It sounds about right, because that was my...
Imagine we had James Franco doing the whip with, like, a gun in his hand in this movie.
That was my freshman year of high school, and it was big then.
Yeah.
And probably the Harlem Shake was around that time, too.
Yeah, I think closing thoughts. Yeah, I think this is definitely not a movie for everyone, like you said, but I think it was it's a really cool early movie for a studio to do. I really liked it. I thought that, like you said, I think the James Franco monologue is really like the Rosetta Stone to unlock like the movie with like the whole American dream thing. That was really that's really what the whole genre of like the Red Rocket, like it's really about the American
dream. It's the Americana.
Yeah, like the American dream, but like how the American dream fails its citizens, and how really the only way to live a happy life is to become a murderer with your best friend, and that is really the message of the movie. And you know what? Can't disagree.
I liked the one thing I want to say about this that stuck out to me. Was the cut of the bloody finger on the piano being an earlier shot and then them tying it in like 10 minutes later.
Yeah.
Loved it.
Yeah.
That stuck out to me. And I was like, dang, that was pretty cool.
Yeah, there's some like, you could definitely tell that they edited it and put it together with care. Like, it wasn't just like, yeah, let's put some sex here and just get this all in here and it'll be really really cool and edgy. Like, I think you can tell that there was like intention behind the choices that they made.
I feel like my overall thoughts is that
you want to go on spring break next year. That's
I want to go on spring break to Florida.
Spring break.
This movie is not for me, and that's fine. But I can see. There's a lot of good things about this movie, is my final thought, is regardless of how I feel about the plot or what I took away from it, I think that there is a lot of interesting things about this movie. Am I ever going to watch it again? No, definitely not. But
you know what this movie needs is a re-release, like, because these, let me tell, I'm going to send you the Amazon link to this Blu-ray cover. And it might be one of the worst Blu-ray covers for this movie that you could make. It is so bad. And I think we just need like a re-release. This could be, I think, a Criterion. I think this could be a Criterion.
You think?
I think it could be.
I don't think it would with James Franco. I think he's too tainted now.
That's a good point. But he's like the worst in this movie. So, you know, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, playing himself.
This is the perfect role for James Franco.
Method acting. He took method acting too far.
Oh.
Fuck you, Jeremy
Brian
Strong.
Brian Cox would not approve. Oh, did you get the link?
Yeah, this is crazy.
The bad girls do it well. The coolest film of the year.
I do not understand the text. I don't understand this font. This
it's a very weird font choice.
I don't know what they're doing with it. It feels very like Red Rum. Mm. Like I just maybe that's what they were going for.
Yeah.
I don't know. This cover's horrid.
I don't think the person that made this cover watched the movie.
Who said this? The coolest film of the year. Who's that pull quote from?
Mark Adams. Creeper.
Thanks, Mark Adams. I love the like bad girls do it well.
I know.
Just,
what
like,
is that? Like,
a little, like bad girls do it well. And
what
it's,
does
like,
that
little
even mean? Like with this movie, like that has no. I don't understand. Question of the week. Maybe that should be like like what your favorite A24 movie is, like, or your early A24 movie, or
yeah, I feel like it's gotta be. What is your favorite
American movie?
American movie. What is your favorite movie about the American dream?
Mm.
Maybe like an A24 movie, but an early
pre Moonlight.
Okay, what year did Moonlight come out?
2016. So you could have Enemy, you could have Under the Skin, you could have Ex Machina.
Okay, so you can't have 20th Century Women.
Nope.
Because that came out after Moonlight.
Favorite pre-Moonlight.
American Honey, Swiss Army Man, if you want to pull that old Daniel Kwan and Daniel Scheiner, and Daniel Radcliffe.
The Dance, Three Dance.
The Lobster.
Oh, that's a
Green
great
Room.
Movie.
The Witch.
Lobster
Room.
Would probably be my... Oh, I like Room. I haven't seen
Ex
Room in
Machina,
a while.
Ex Machina, While We're Young. Like, there's a lot of ones. What is your favorite A24 movie pre-Moonlight?
Pre-Moonlight. Let's see what you guys say. Is it this? Is it something else? Let us know. You can answer that question on any of our social media platforms, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, on Spotify. You can answer it. Reach out to us on our email. So many different options. And then we'll read that answer in our next episode, which we don't need to announce now. Should we keep it?
Yeah.
Let's just keep it like James Franco. I don't know. I was trying to think of a quote on the top of my head, but there's no quote in the movie that I could think of. But as James Franco said, spring break. Everyone says that the role he was meant for is the disaster artist role. That is incorrect. This is the role that he was meant for. This is the perfect James Franco role, because he is the this and Oz the Great and Powerful. Remember that? That could be a childhood classic.
That's
right there.
So
that
funny.
What a film.
Anyway,
I don't have anything to say other than that.
I don't either.
Well, thank you all for listening. And until next time, I'm a gangster in the background secretly doing a drug deal on camera.
And I am one of the flat-billed hats hanging on Alien's wall in his house. House.
And where?
I couldn't think of the word. I was going to say flat because I've been reading British fan fiction.
Oh,
and so
the BBC,
I was like, flat? No, that's
the 71.
Not right.
At the BBC, and where? Your
second-hand
film critics.
Critics.
G'day, mate. That's Australian.